The Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
It's our school of prayer. All right, let's take our declaration of understanding. Remember, it's a declaration. All right, one, two, let's go.
Now
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seats. The last time I began to teach on the intercessory duties of the Christian. And I want to just pick it up from where we stopped, talk for a few minutes, and then we take some prayer points for our nation, and if we can get there, for the Church of God. Now, I use the expression intercessory duty. Please, can you repeat that for me? Say duty.
Duty.
Say it again.
Duty.
You know why I say duty? It's something you have been commanded to do, and something that you'll be, of which I'm looking for a word, to be required of your hand. That's what I'm trying to say. Last time we read some, just to illustrate, okay? In which God said to the prophet that if I tell you to go and command a sinner, to go and warn him, and because if he continues in his sin, he will die. He said, if you go, you will have delivered yourself. But if you do not go, we read that from Ezekiel chapter 3. If you do not go and the man perishes in his sins, then I will have to require the blood of the sinner from you. Now, I use that as a kind of a parallel, just to illustrate something to us. That one day God is going to come to judge some situations, and we'll be surprised that when the sinner dies, we'll have been standing over to see the sinner alone judged for his iniquity. But God will add the prophet who did not warn the sinner and put him as part of the people to be judged for that arrangement of sin. And I'm saying to Christians again, in a country like ours, that please remember this. Instead of spending your time, you know, there's not too many places where I chat with people. Actually, I avoid, I think there's only one chat group I belong to where people are not core believers who are discussing the word of God. If I find believers who are not, and you put me in a chat group, I also run away. I do that, okay? It's only one place where I am, which I'm in a group, and I keep hearing all sorts of comments. When I get to professional groups, if you dabble into too many, in fact, if you make it a constant to bring in other things apart from the core professional discussions, I walk away, all right? So that's why I find myself in only one place where people keep talking. And I have a little new rule. I don't get involved significantly in discussions about country and all of that because what people do every time, and then let me just really drop this for you. If you just realize that you are doing what everybody is doing, you should be ashamed of yourself as a Christian. Stop. Are you getting my point? Every day they are criticizing. And some of these people I've known, of course, we're in school together. I've known people for over 40 years, some. Is it over 40 years? Yeah, 40 years this year. Yeah. And the same thing you have done for 40 years. The same thing. One day I saw a preacher, good man of God, but in this one I think he got it wrong. He said, I does not believe that God picks leaders for any country because we are not a governed nation. He said, if God has been picking for... the point he was trying to make, please, I need to criticize that so that you have understanding, all right? I need to come against that. The point he was trying to make is that God used to pick leaders for Israel because they are a covenant nation. Now, he made a statement. He said, if God has been picking the leaders for Africa, obviously has done a very bad job. Now, he wasn't saying God did a bad job. He was trying to use that to prove that God had not been doing it. Not somebody I know, so I couldn't talk with him about it or write him about it. I would have quickly told him what Elijah John is thinking. That all this Israel that he said God picked leaders for, do you get? All their kings, minus David, a bit of Solomon, were bad. All of them, not one was good. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. If you take Israel, the whole nation first, who had Saul as the first, and then after him, who? David, then Solomon, then Rehoboam. Now, the time of Rehoboam, the nation split into two, and then it became Judah and Israel. The northern 10 tribes was called Israel. Now, if you take that first complete Israel, and this northern 10 tribes of Israel, now, when the division happened, after the division happened, the Israel as a country never had one good king. Only Judah managed to occasionally get a good one. One Hezekiah will come up. One Josiah will come up. One Jeroboam will come up. No, not Jeroboam. What's the name of that guy? Jehoshaphat, I wanted to say. So one Jehoshaphat will come up. You find just a few kings. So, but the other people, all the Ahab generation, not one was good. Even the Judah that we're talking about, Hezekiah was succeeded by one of the most horrible kings. The son he had in those 15 years that he pressed. So, we start looking back at why did he ask for 15 years extra? Maybe he should have just died in peace and not given birth to such a rascal. The point I'm making is that the claim that God only used to pick leaders for Israel, for the covenant nation, and that we have been having good, bad leaders, one of the proofs that he didn't pick for us, you go back to Israel, that argument also falls. It falls apart because they almost never saw who we know was directly picked by God. Was it good or bad? Sorry, there's no catch to it. Was it good or bad? And we saw how God picked him. By visions, by revelations. There was more power in the picking of Saul than the picking of David. Because in the picking of Saul, God revealed to Samuel, right? There's Samuel that allowed the people to cast lots. And later on we'll read from Proverbs that's the decision of the lot is from the hand of the Lord. So he had both popular vote and divine vote. David had divine vote, he was anointed, but was war for the next how many years, we don't know for sure. He was war. He virtually had to fight his way into the throne. There was war in Israel before he was made king over the northern part. Because even then, David was first ruling over Judah before the whole kingdom was now turned over to David. Now what am I trying to say? The one that seemed to have more anointing to come with was a bad one. Lesson there. The fact that God picks leaders does not guarantee they are good. It doesn't. In Israel at that time when he picked Saul, Saul was the best person. Not just for their good, but to express what was inside their joint hearts. They got Saul according to the idol in their heart. And Samuel warned them specifically about what will happen if he gave them the king they're asking for. Essentially, before God, Saul was the king they were asking for. Now, what am I going to say with this? So you see, people spend all the time trying to analyze this person is bad, this person is bad, this person is bad. Please let me say it again. The day they will judge, let's just use our country as an example. The day the country will put on the block or on the stand, and let's assume it failed. I'm not saying it will fail. In Jesus' name, it won't fail. But let's just assume it did. I just want to make an example. And God said, okay, let me judge people because every nation represents something. Now let me judge the people that are responsible for the failure. I can assure you, the critics will be first before the leaders. Because the spirit that goes out, you'll be surprised. It's more powerful than that leader you are trying to criticize. We live in a democracy right now. I wonder if you like it or not. It's a democracy. You may not like the way some things are done. But if you have been noticed, every 4 years, we have been holding elections, and people have been going, and that set coming. We've had a president that we voted out with all the power he had as a sitting president. He couldn't do anything. He left. That's a sign to you that we actually have I'm not saying it's a good form of government. Like somebody said, it's a very bad form of government, except that the rest are worse. Do you understand? Yeah. The real form of government, if you want to know, that's best, is for you to have a king that's a man of God, that God speaks through. Yeah. And that's what's in the Bible. And Jesus is not returning as a president. You know what it is? A king. The reason is because the issue about, we have separation of powers. In a king, all power is united. In democracy, you separate it. Judiciary, the legislature, and then the executive. Each one essentially equally powerful. The top of the judiciary, the legislature can come together, make a law, and judiciary will sit and say, that law is not valid. And it's not valid. The president can decide, this is what I want to do. And they will say, do you know Donald Trump in America, separation of powers? He will make one judge sitting in one small city, will say it's unconstitutional. He has to fight to the Supreme Court to have them agree with him. But in a king, he has executive powers, right? No, they have a cabinet, they also have. Kings usually have. But the head and the final authority of the cabinet is who? The king. Judiciary, they also have courts. But the final authority is who? The king. When you disagree with what the judges say, you appeal to Caesar. So yeah, he was one step above whatever Supreme Court they might have apart from him. He was the head of everything. They also had lawgivers, lawmakers. But the greatest law is the word that he utters. That's what a monarchy is. All powers united in a place. And people say, no, absolute powers will corrupt absolutely. That's why I use the word godly. You can vest that kind of power in somebody who the Spirit of God has totally possessed. But let's leave that, okay? So we live in a democracy. For that reason, the spirit of the people matter. That's what I'm talking about. Even in the monarchy, the spirit of the people matter. So God is going to come and judge every, listen to me, including those who have never held an elected position, never been to political office, never been appointed by a sitting governor or president. When God wants to judge and say, why did this fail? When he starts speaking, then they will be shocked. That's when you find that some of the men, some of the women that you insulted the most are 10 times better than you as a person. God will say to you, you were insulting people better than you. Who worked harder than you? And he will show you what you did when you were parliament members. What's the name of that? Student Union Government. SUG. And you see that you couldn't do anything. That is, you were waiting for when you have the big power. As God said, look at you. Look at a local government councillor. Can you see that they did better than you? And do you know why they couldn't do as you wanted them to do? The negative spirit from you and your types. For you to know, I had to contend with 20 million of your type in this country. The power they were emitting, the negative one was so strong, this man couldn't do anything. Let me remind us again. Refusal to pray, Samuel taught us, is iniquity. Neglect, that is, you just forget and you don't bother. After this last election, please, I'll go over that again. There are people who gave up on Nigeria just because they didn't like who won. And the person who they prophesied to them should have won did not. So they withdrew all their prayers and began to sin against the Lord. It was not them that was rejected, though. It was their candidate. Samuel was rejected. Is that not what he said? God had to console Samuel. It's not you they are rejecting, Samuel. Bele. No need to cry. It's not you. It's me. Yes, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against who? Him. In season to pray for you. Yet, some people join a political party, they campaign, they put... The party lost, and they ceased to pray for the country. Please tell them, I said, judgment loading. Yeah, because you see, what they are doing is sinning against the Lord. Samuel taught us that even though you disagree with the people in power, even though you disagree with the new king that they have, you should please at least be careful to deliver yourself by not ceasing to pray for the nation. Let me remind us of something we said. I don't know whether I said this last time, but in case I did, it's good to emphasize it. And that's the fact that God shares this earth out and he holds people responsible for how each segment fares. Did you hear what I said? I don't know whether you heard me well. For example, he planted a garden eastward in Eden. And what did he do? He gave it to Adam and told him, I've given you this garden. What do you do? Guard it, keep it, tend it, make sure it goes well. Adam was, if that garden failed, it was Adam's responsibility. Remember, if God gives you something, you know, even if it eventually doesn't do well, Adam, of course, the whole garden had to succeed because he was the only person. But when you're a part of maybe a multitude, I've already explained, you can do certain things that will culminate in you having delivered yourself. Do you follow the principle? So, let's say a country, a city, or a company, we'll talk about institutions like that, as it fails, it is possible for you to say, I have delivered myself. Assume it was work. I worked. I did what I was supposed to do. And I offered prayers I was supposed to offer. And he said, Lord, please, you saw. Because you see, David used to do it. And Jeremiah. He said, Lord, you saw I used to pray for these people all the day, every time. So you can say, Lord, I used to pray for this, my institution, every day. And God will say, you have delivered yourself. So God parcels out the earth. And he makes people responsible for different segments, different aspects of it. Now look, something happened. Israel was taken into captivity. And God said to them, I want to rephrase those words a bit. I have given you Babylon now to take possession of, even though you are an exile or you are exiles. If it fails, you will suffer. Did you hear what I said? Was that what he said? In other words, yes. He said, look, seek, number one, what did he say? Seek the good. One of the ways you seek the good, a critical way is how? You pray for it. Entreat the Lord, he said, for her sake. He said, do you know why? I have tied your prosperity to her prosperity. Now, this is the point I'm making. So, the nation, the land now, had been given to the exiles. Therefore, God says, if Babylon did poorly economically, if there was turmoil in Babylon, the people that will hold responsible are my people. Even though it was not originally their land, but I sent them there and I gave them the right of intercession. I gave them my ears. They are sinners, but amongst them are people like Daniel. Amongst them, you will find people like Shadrach, Mishael, Hananiah, Azariah, who are we listening to their prayers? So if they fail to pray and the economy of Babylon misbehaves, they will suffer like everybody else. If they like, let them be praying, I claim bread. God said, I kept your bread on the fields of Babylon. Pray against locusts. Remember, God parcels this land, that's the earth, and he puts people in charge. And one of the ways those guys were supposed to make Babylon secure, fruitful, two things. One, generally, now listen, this is where I stopped last time and I must go back there. Generally, they must take possession in their heart of the land of Babylon. Did you hear what I said? You know, let me give you an example. Most people, and you're not bad, all right? If you rent a house and you're not sure how long you live there, most people, even the good ones, you do some maintenance, but you're not intensive about the maintenance. Now, it's not because you're bad. Occasionally, you find people who really go out of their way. But most people just... I lived in a house for, and funny enough, up to 8 years. And I maintained it quite well. You understand? I think so. In fact, I have the testimony of... My lad is an old man. His son was about my age, so... Now the testimony that we did okay. Is that okay? But I look back. There are things in that house. If the house belonged to me, I will spend the money. Do you follow my point? Look, there are places that we dig, rebuild, do. I did a lot. I mean, do it quite a bit. If at the point in time, the guy who used to do it for me, all right, like my contractor, he had to say, sir, talk to your landlord now. I told him that this is cheaper for me than the cost of talking to somebody. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, the idea of making a call, talking, arguing on how much, what really is needed, and do they have to do that? Sometimes, I told him, I said, see, my guy, this thing that's paying you now, for me, is actually cheaper for me than the option of going to talk to somebody and calling him over. You understand? Yet, now, despite all things I'm saying, I can tell you if I were to sit down for 30 minutes, things I would have done differently if the house belonged to me. Yes. I can still remember places I would have dug up, put retaining walls, move moisture back. It would cost me a lot of money. But you see, deep inside my heart, the house is not mine. See, you can't help it. That's life. Occasionally, some will be very good. They close their eyes. But even in your goodness, you don't expect to live next year. You don't. If the man sent you a letter that he needs to repossess his house and he gives you 2 years' notice, do you think you'll do anything significant in 2 years? You just be patching up the house now. You just say, okay, this place is leaking. Put nylon. Why? Because it's not yours. Anything you don't see, now, you've got the principle. Let's not go to Christian discipline now, Christian responsibilities. God expects you to take ownership of anywhere he places you. If you work in government service, behave as if it's your personal business. If you are sleeping at night and suddenly you remember, hey, I was the last to leave the office. Did you switch off all the lights? And it's night. Some distance to get back there. And the windows, are they closed? I can see the rain about to fall. And it looks heavy. Enter your car. Drive back there. Talk to the security. Then go back into the building and check. Because that's what you would have done if it was your personal business. That's what God... Now, You can disobey, but at least I've told you what God expects. Do you get my point? Now, I'm not perfect. All right, I try my best. This thing actually guides me a lot of times. There are times I get a call. Sir, this, and that. And something inside me like, oh, God. That distance for just this? Then you think about it. If it was your personal business. Just to keep your good name going. So if you don't find any way around it, I'll tell them, okay, give me 2 hours. Tell the people you should come back by 12. Even though I have something else planned. From where, most times that would take me 25 kilometers that way and 5 kilometers back this way. One reason I just know that Papa God is checking, what will Banky do? Let me just tell Christians, you do what you do as unto the Lord. Just pretend like God is the DG. Do you get my point? Of that establishment. Just pretend. Behave. Now, for information, even when it's your private business too. Because sometimes you can don't say, if I won't even do it for myself. God says, yeah, fine. I agree with you. Well, now, do it because I'm watching you. Do you follow my point? Yeah, there are things you can, even for yourself, you might not even do it. But you do something the Lord says, because I'm watching you. See, that sense of ownership. Remember I told us here, teaching some time ago, that there are three kinds of workers. Do you remember? One, hirelings, that's the lowest. Next, good shepherds. And then, owners. That's it. Somebody says sons. Yes, you're right. You're right because a son is part of ownership. Do you understand? Good shepherds, most times, is the owner that's a good shepherd. However, a hireling can promote himself to being
a good shepherd the way Jacob did in the house of Laban. That's why I maintain those three. You can behave like Jacob did in the house of Laban, that people will have thought it's your business. Except that you don't own it. When they share profit at the end of the year, they don't give you anything. They give you a salary and that's it. And just like Laban, sometimes they don't. You have entitlement. Let me just say, please, if you are working in a place like that, if they reduce your salary and it will reduce your commitment, resign. Say, but I don't want to resign. Then, don't reduce your commitment. Don't. Now, let me talk about Christianity for a moment. It's a hard game. It's not an easy deal. Christianity does not allow you, if you had a choice, to strike because you have not been paid. Go on strike. No, you can't. God says, you will not leave my work. He said, but I joined strike. Let me tell you about a small thing about it. You are part of a union. Do you get my point? Yeah, some people say, no, when you are part of a union, you have to balance some things also. I'm not here to talk about union activity and all of that. Okay, but most of the time you are part of what? The union. So sometimes you are forced. All right? They don't talk about that. But there are times in which you will tell the union, you guys are high on drugs. Because one of the things I see annoys me, I find it hard when medical personnel will walk out with a day's notice because they're on strike. I think it's wickedness. So all you doctors hearing it, it is wickedness. Nurses, those two particularly, it's wickedness. You are evil. You have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you will have stomach problems. I'm telling you. I think that if medical people want to go on strike, they should. Actually, the law is that you maintain essential services. But then sometimes some wicked human beings will just walk out because of money. God is waiting for you in front. You know what they call front? I'm not kidding, no. I like to take Christ, because one thing we have in Christianity that we don't preach the hard side. We preach the kindness of the Lord. We don't preach his severity. And the Bible insists that we should look at both the kindness and the severity. Both of them are God. Have you ever seen, say, I'm clapping. I'm clapping. On. Have you ever seen it like that? One hand clapping? It's two hands. That's how God is. Anytime you're preaching mercy, 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 it's not God you are preaching. You must bring the severity side of him. Add it to it. And that is the sound of heaven. That's the sound of heaven. Christianity has some rules. Let me tell you. I was in the Oswald Chambers, shade of his hand. And he said that when you obey God, that you'll be so irrational that nobody will be able to understand you. That the only defense you will have is that God said. How can they change your wages 10 times? Let me tell you something. You think Jacob was so nice? I'm a humble man. I'm very humble. If you change my wages 2 times, I will stay there. You think it was like that? See, let me tell you who Jacob was. He's a planter. He's come original Jacob. The original Jacob. Guys, let me tell you about Jacob. Laban would have hated himself. Jacob was looking at Laban and said, oh boy, you are lucky I gave my life to Christ. That is what Jacob is looking at Laban. Just shake his head and say, ah, Laban, you don't know me. All this is your sheep, they will all die. What I'm telling you is that the real Jacob, is not the one you met like that. Let me tell you what used to happen to those men. Many of us don't realize. I don't know why the Bible was not so explicit about that, but we discovered it reading through. They used to have a lot of divine encounters. And I'll prove it to you. Okay, I prove these things. When Hagar ran away from her mother, her mistress, how did she go back? An angel told her, go back. You think Hagar went back out of discipline? No. An angel said, hey, it's okay. Go back, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. You go back and go and submit yourself to your mistress. When Moses left Egypt, many of us thought, if you read only from Exodus, you think he was afraid. Paul had to explain it to us in the book of Hebrews, I believe Paul. He said, it was not because he was afraid. It was because God told him. Moses was ready to stand there, face trial, create problems, stir up a riot. And then just say, it's enough. Get up and go. When Laban went and went to recover his family and Jacob with a lot of rage in his heart, what happened to him? That night, an angel warned him, when you get there, don't say, look, I don't even want you to bless him. Just close your mouth. And just go away. They used to have divine encounters. What am I talking about? I don't believe that like Jacob just sat down there. You change his wages 10 times. Even mean I'm more righteous than Jacob. By the third time, I would have called a meeting. Oga, kilo de, meafaro. What's going on here? You've changed this thing 30 times. I didn't talk. Go and ask her family. Don't ask Esau. Do I believe what happened? Sorry, should I tell you what I believe happened? The angel of the Lord told him, Mission, sit down there. Ah, sir, can you see what they are doing to me? Mission, sit down there. Look, after the guy, you know, he had met God in Bethel. You know, he had gotten to know the Lord. So the Lord told him, sit down there. When it's time to go, I will let you know. So 10 times he changed his wages. Now, in case you're wondering, how did he recover? A time came, you know, this is how God does. When the time comes for me to pay you, so all of you are striking for your money. Oh God, the kind of poverty waiting in front. Especially those who use tricks to collect. In this office, that's the way they like it now. Might be calling the clients to the side, diverting them to another business. And what is the justification? Lord, or you tell your friends, this man is owing me up to 5 months of allowances. He hasn't paid. I decided to collect it myself. So every time you are checking how much you are making on the side from the same person, you are diverting his business. God says there's no problem. The more you do that, the less I intervene. Now, what happened to Jacob was that he did what God required of him for so long. God now came to him one day, time to pay. So he looked to the north of the head, the south of the head, the east and the west. All this flock that Laban has, I will give to you. And he said, what will I do? So this is what we're going to do. You are going to negotiate with him. This is what he will offer you. Accept it. And then come back. Let's walk. So the Lord just told him. What did he say? He said, any animal that is spotted and striped, they'll be mine. But if it's plain, it's his own. He said, Lord, I woke up this morning. He has labored me again. What is it? All the animals left in the flock that's under my control, they are plain. And you know genetics. Plain animal, when they mate, they are pure breeds, man. These are they call them pure breeds. Where are you going to get the recessive gene from? God said, don't worry. I created the gene. Do you get it? Yeah, that's what God told you. I'm telling you. So the angel of the Lord told him, this is what you will do. You go and get a poplar tree. Which pattern do you like? You like Adire? Design Adire on this thing. Which one do you like? Do you like simple prints? Or you like Mexican? Which one do you want? So Jacob spent his time designing stems of trees. Is any pattern you want, put it there. We'll put it in the genes. It's called epigenetic modification. I'm telling you. I wish I could go to class where God is teaching genetics. Just send one angel, we'll go teach. I got to put some genes in. You know the funny thing? Human beings are now doing something like 0.1% of that now. Yeah, I'm going to read about CRISPR in editing. They're not editing genes. This quality is not good. They are learning how to send in enzymes that will cut at precise places, rejoin, and put new traits. They are doing it already. It's not being done by human beings. They did for bacteria long ago. So you want to make insulin? Let bacteria make human insulin for you. It was done long ago. And not today. What they are now doing, that what is wrong with this gene? Okay, we take the embryo. They call it CRISPR. a set of enzymes. They will cut it, put it back, return it to the embryo, and fertilize and implant it. Go and read. Things are happening. Like somebody told my wife, things is happening. But that's what God did for Jacob. By the time Laban woke up, I said, this guy stole my sheep. He said, how could he have done it? Because the Bible says that he put those animals under the care of his sons and sent them far away. How could he have done it? See, this time around, guys, watch your heads. And they did. And they came again. And this guy was designing. Designing. When he sees these animals, some of them will come, bleating of sheep. So that will not be sheep. The weak ones, let them go. Some will come, can you see the difference? So that's a strong guy. Put the stick there. Bam! Those ones will mate. Plain animals. They give birth after some time. What do you find? Striped, spotted, all kinds of patterns. Adire. You understand my point? You know, Ghana print, batik, all kinds of. Senegalese, thank you. All kinds of things. So Laban had a meeting with his sons. They said, Daddy, no need to talk. We were watching our flock. And we watched him. He didn't come near. Nobody came near. Nothing is missing here. Because God said, it is time to pay you. I pray that God will give you the grace to wait for his payment.
Amen.
That's why I said that all this one that they're shouting, strike, strike, strike. God doesn't understand. He said, this is human method. It's human method. If I want to pay, when it's time to pay you, I was watching, I've watched two videos of Costaris tell some of his experiences, Cosmas Madoka, tell some of the experiences he had in business. Ha! Just know, it's God that said, let me pay this guy. Yeah, it's God. There are things they said, look, get this rid of it. Maybe you will have gotten received some money, made 500 million out of those days. He held, he said no. Finally, he sold for 7 billion. Price doubling in the space of like 1 week. So I know what I'm saying when I said, this is that, look, God will say, it's time to pay. All this on that, like, let's get back to the issue of ownership. No, I'm talking about ownership. That's why I went to that. Talking about ownership. What's ownership? You treat the thing as it's yours. And I started by saying that God has cut this earth. He cuts nations and says, these are the people that are placed in charge of this one. And I told you last time that the thing that this nation, I think, now I may be a bit wrong, but I don't think I'm very wrong. But I think the thing this nation, there are two things, okay, that is a problem. One, fundamentally, what we have in every nation that has, any nation that has problems is iniquity. It's called the judgment of God against iniquity. But iniquity and judgment, they are not the only things that speak. All right? Iniquity, we speak. Accusation, because of iniquity, we speak. Judgment is released because of those two things, iniquity and the accusations thereof. But there's always one thing that speaks last. It's called mercy. Yeah, mercy speaks last. And the Bible says it rejoices or triumphs over judgment. That's what mercy does. So, what is mercy? Sodom and Gomorrah should be exterminated. Then somebody comes to plead mercy. And God says, okay, but this is as far as I can go. Because mercy is given only because somebody asked. I don't know what I can point. It is the righteousness of Abraham that had the power to bring mercy upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And he had the compassion for Sodom and Gomorrah because of Lot. So God said, there's so far, all right, that I can go. So he said, Lord, what can you do? Because I can do 10 righteous persons. Now, let me explain. We assume that Abraham stopped at 10. It's an assumption. I suspect, now I'm not saying, I'm not being dogmatic, all right? I suspect he went below 10. And God said, Abraham, you know, like what we say in Enugu, Yusef, check him. Yusef, check him. I've tried. So the Bible recorded for us that he stopped at 10. That he recorded as far as 10. Okay? Now, this is what mercy did. Mercy spoke. And now let us assume there were 15 righteous people. Normally, that was not enough. If you see when Nineveh had to be spared, the whole nation went into repentance. 15 righteous people was not enough to save a nation. What was saving Sodom and Gomorrah was the intercession of Abraham. But then in negotiation, if we use the expression, God said, "As this is best I can do, because God never is against his righteousness to let that iniquity just stay there forever. So 10 is the least that he felt who initiate eventual revival. So let's give it another try. And it's in scriptures like that. First year, second year, third year. A time always comes in which God says, cut it down. Do you follow the principle there? Okay? So, judgment speaks against the land. Iniquity speaks against the land. But mercy is supposed to have the final say. If people will activate it. That's where I'm going. Mercy is supposed to have the final say. If people will activate it. So what happened, all right, in a country like us, like I was trying to explain, is when people reject it, there's no plea for mercy. Or let me say, there's no adequate plea for mercy going forward. So what you see all the time is the judgment holding sway. Now, there's something I wanted to say. I'm happy now I remembered it. It's called the pointing of fingers. Let me preach against it. The pointing of fingers. Where's that scripture? I'm quoting the scripture now. The pointing of fingers. Let me tell you what they call pointing of fingers. Adam, did you eat of that tree? It's Mrs. B. Okay, it's Mrs. A. She, his name was Adam. Mrs. A, did you eat and give your husband? It's Mr. S. It's happened. And God didn't tell that one. Did you? He just judged that one. That one, the master of iniquity before. But for the other people, it's called the pointing of fingers. Always having somebody to hold responsible for your own iniquity. It's the way she spoke to me. That's why I slapped her. It's not my hot temper. It's not my lack of forbearance. It's not my pride that feels I should not be spoken to like that. Do you get what I'm saying? It's called the pointing of fingers. Have you found the scripture for me? Isaiah 50. 58. Please, read that portion for me. God hates the pointing of fingers. When people always have somebody else to hold responsible, it's called the pointing of fingers. I thought you saw where it was now. Okay. And I said, read it. We found it. I just wanted somebody to read it.
Then you call and
sit down, sit down. Uh-huh.
Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and you will say, here I am. You remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness.
Yes. The pointing of what?
Finger.
Yes. God hates pointing of fingers. And I can say it, I want to say to the church in Nigeria today, and of course, not just Nigeria, but we are talking, is that what? Verse what? Yes. What I call the pointing of finger here, that's where I'm applying this one of always looking for somebody else to hold responsible, to blame for how things are. You know, I told you that man that was preaching and said that God doesn't appoint. Now, first, I didn't finish that. God does. All right? I'm going to teach about that now. But God appoints leaders for every nation on this earth because he's the governor among the nations. That's who he is. He appoints. He declares the end. 2027, he has made up his mind who's the president. All the coalition that they are forming, or the people, APC people that are consolidating, God has made up his mind as at now. That one I know. It is too late now, for my opinion, to even change his mind. Who will be president in 2027? The Lord has made his decision. Now, you say that, so shouldn't do anything. No. Whatever you are doing is part of the process of the Lord's decision. So go ahead and do it. Keep your hands busy, like Solomon said. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Whatever party your body finds to join, join. No. Whichever candidate your party is sponsoring, campaign for them. And you get up and go and vote. But all of this will not change who the Lord is. It will only reveal. Let's get that one clear. Now, so like I was saying to you, the main problem we have, all right, as I want to talk about the pointing of fingers, all right? Two things. One, rejection. I began out last time. And then the pointing of fingers. Now, there's a problem with pointing of fingers. You never hold yourself responsible. It's always somebody else. You know, I stumbled into something recently on Twitter. The former vice president of the United States, what's his name? Mike Pence. He tweeted something in which he quoted something I'd said here long ago about the progress of a country. And he quoted Benjamin Franklin. And somebody read it. And first he said, those of us that listen to Pastor Banky, we knew this long ago. Yeah. So the person tagged me. That's how come. And I had to go to Twitter. So just once in a while. That's how come I saw that. All right. The person tagged me. The person said, those of us who know this, we already know this thing. And Mike Pence was quoting Benjamin Franklin. That the progress of a nation is not just, it's not the people on top. It comes from lower below. It comes from higher above. Do you get my point? I brought out two things now. He didn't use those words. I'm using my own words. It comes from lower below, the people in that country. But more importantly, it comes as a result of divine judgment. Many times we are pointing at, like today now, Bola Tinubu, Akpabio, Shetima. These are the people we are pointing to. Now let me say this to Christians. Stop. Please, don't join. I'm begging you. When it comes to politics, I hardly get listened to. I'm used to it. But a few people do. And for those of you that do, I'm begging you again, don't join the pointing of fingers. It's not necessary. Take ownership. Take ownership. I said earlier that one thing that Nigeria has suffered for a very long time is rejection. I feel like saying it again. It's rejection. Christians reject. Look, my wife and I sat at home a few days ago. Today's Tuesday. Yeah, on Sunday. We're just analyzing some situations. I said, Haba. Even my friends have rejected. People that I call, some people I call have call friends. They've rejected the country. No, it's clear. I was showing it to her. And she had to agree. Let me tell you something about things we accept. See, do you know, if you love your business, you understand? Maybe you start a company and you love it. And somebody comes, you check the company right now. All the money you are making from it, let's just for purpose of discussion, let's just say it's 100,000 naira a month. That somebody gives you a job, if you're a real entrepreneur, if anybody like that in the house, you can bear me witness. You will not sacrifice the business that's giving only 100,000 for a job that's giving you 500,000. If you do, you never had any passion for that. I've seen people who close their business because somebody offered them a job. I said, you never wanted to do that business. You were doing that out of joblessness. Now they have found job. Joblessness has disappeared. Those who really want... See, I read a book long when I was in university. Was on management. They asked a man, the man who wrote the book, he said, ask one of the business owners, why do you do business? He said, that one said, ha ha, to make money. So he sat the man down and showed the man how to make money from the business he had. But first he had to sell the business. He showed him, this is how we'll make selling your business. This is how we'll invest it. And he showed to the man, he proved to him that you make more money than you are making currently running this business. He said, hi. The man went back and said, no, I don't want to. I don't want to do. So what he just did, he said, you see, you're not doing this for money. No, he was trying to prove to us. I read the book, I read it more than 30 years ago. But I remember till today. I think I even still have the book somewhere. I think it's in my house. The book is on management. The man said that, no, people don't do business because they want to make money. That he showed that man he could make much more money and he would just sell the business. Take the money they will make from selling it and show him where to invest it. You know, one of the richest men in the world today is Mark Zuckerberg, right? Yes? What number is it? Those of you who follow such things. It's at least amongst top five. Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's top five. It's top five. Elon Musk has been sitting on number one for some time. As a young man, Facebook grew and grew. And I think it was Google. Or there was a company that offered him a few billions to buy Facebook. You know why he didn't sell? He said, what else would I be doing? They were going to make him filthy rich. I think it was Google. The man said, what else would I be doing? He was young. He said, look, I'm too young to retire. You give me the whole money? He said, no. At the end of the day, he's richer than those guys who could have made him. But why did he not sell? He said, I don't know what else I will be doing. Now, I'm trying to talk about ownership. So sometimes my proof that people have rejected things is that if this was your business, you won't treat it like this, but you treat the nation like that. And you give one or two excuses. I see people make plans that becomes clear their descendants will have nothing in this country. It's a sign of rejection. It's not a sin. And let me warn you, Christian, rich people. See, everything comes with responsibility. Everything. Everything. See, everything. You know these days, the other day I quarreled with some people in traffic. That was on Saturday, after we left here. I got into a very serious quarrel with some people in traffic. Not persons, officials, MOT people. Yeah. Because I felt what they were doing to somebody else was injustice. Yeah, it wasn't me. They were not talking to me. I went and intervened in something that didn't concern me. I said, look, you guys, you are treating... Okay, I'll give you a small part of it. The thing started because somebody with a truck, a big SUV with the name Senator on it, honked his horn. That's how the whole thing started. So a man driving one old rickety truck moved out of the way. In that process, he broke the traffic. No, those kind of things. Uh-huh. So that was what got to me. I told my general in the car, I said, I won't let it pass. They pursued the man, and I pursued them. And I said, guys, you can't do this thing while I watch. It's not right. It was when I got home, I said, what was annoying you so much? And I remembered, no, he's a senator. Yeah. He honked the horn, made that man do something wrong, while he drove majestically across the traffic light. And it was full red. Yeah. So I told them, what is wrong with you people? I mean, shame should have let you just leave everything. They say he had a siren. I said, that was not a siren. It was a loud horn. There's a difference between a siren and a loud horn. You know, pa, pa, that kind of horn that reverberates. I said, that's not a siren. That's a loud horn. There's no siren. Thank you. This is not even Abuja. I was very angry. But that's not what I'm talking. When I finished, this is where I'm going. I said, did anybody film that? That's why I'm going. Now, we started amicably. At the end of the day, we became friends. I shook their hand. I took the guy's name. You know, we talked. I mean, I told the guy, you know, started looking. We became very good friends. And they said they would let the man go and all of that. And we fixed it very well. But I was not thinking that, man of God, I hope nobody filmed that too. Because if you put it on social media, says if I'm sorry. That is what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I looked like, what? I was like, okay, next time, calm down. Calm down. You're a man of God. You're a man of God. Calm down. See, everything in life puts constraints on you. It does. I can't give you this openly. There are decisions I could make about my life. It won't mean anything. But I said to my wife to make a wrong statement. Yeah. Not this is a bad thing. I said, but to make a wrong statement. I told you about the preacher who told us last time that he was in cars with big men of God. And they said, I can't have my children in this country. And they were pastoring massive churches. So as a young man, he drank the poison. And he complained that it hurts him till today. Now, because he had had those children, two of them, abroad, when his wife then quarreled with him, she picked two American citizens and walked across, and he never saw them again. Rejection. Please, you know, I preach about this once in a while. We have to repent. Rabbi Zacharias, in his days, he told a story about one man, Che, that was his name. When the communists took over one of those South African American countries, Southeast Asia, I think. Yeah. I think it was Cambodia. This man was a missionary. All right? Yeah, I think it's either Vietnam or Cambodia. So the Americans, they made arrangements to move out their missionaries. This guy is from that country. So they told him to bring his wife, his children, and everything. So the helicopter came to the American place of meeting. They had arranged all the missionaries. Come. Those guys had invaded. They had taken over everything. Americans were evacuating. So the guy brought his wife and kids and put them on the copter. You, enter. He stepped back. What are you doing? He said, no, I can't go. Ah. They tried to persuade him. He said, no, he needs to talk to the communists.
there may be one of them who just heard, hear the gospel. Now, what he did, will I have done that? I don't know. But at least I understand the spirit. Now, 1 hour later, they had drowned him. Oh, the communist grabbed him, pushed his head into the water and drowned him. You may not like it, but that blood counts in heaven. The Lord just decided that this one, take his blood for the land. Following Jesus Christ, no be Joe. You know, so Jesus said, Peter, follow me. Jesus looked at Peter and said, what about this one? He said, how does it concern you? Before that, what I want to talk about is before that, he had told him what kind of death he will die to glorify God. He wasn't dying for the next few decades. But at the time Jesus was giving him instructions, they had decided how he would die. And the death, gruesome as it might look to people from outside, was for the glory of God. There are times you do things. This is not the best for your family, or humanly speaking. Say, but that's what the Lord requires. That's what the Lord requires. Today, Eastern Europe is not there. Communism had collapsed in them. It didn't collapse for nothing. People suffered for decades for it. Remember the story told by Brother Andrew? Gosmogler, yeah. Brother Andrew told the story of a couple he met. All the children, everybody had gone. People had gone here and they said, two, you people, young people, they've left the village. You people will not go. I mean, they were living in poverty. They said no. He said, why not? He said, who will stay behind to pray? They stayed behind and said, this land, communism will not have it. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years at least before communism finally crumbled. But they stayed behind to pray. I'm talking about the intercessory duty of Christians. You know, one major thing we are doing in this life, we don't understand. We think Christianity is about believe God for the fine things. So we want to serve him in comfort. Yeah. That's why we go around teaching nonsense doctrines. Like there's one, you know, the one that your friend, your senior brother in ministry, did in Abuja. The thing has, one I saw recently on YouTube was an American analyzing the gospel from Nigeria. How money is the most important? That the devil cannot answer you if you have money. Americans were analyzing it. That look at the rubbish Nigerians are now preaching. Yeah, I'm serious. There's an American guy. He will play the video, use scripture to counter what the guy is saying. He said, let's watch this. He said, I thought America was bad. Man, this is bad coming from Nigeria. Did he catch fire everywhere? That's why we preach rubbish doctrines like that. Because we just feel like serving God is comfort. It's primarily about comfort. Brethren, it's not like that. Too many tribulations, we enter the kingdom. That's what the Bible says. I'm trying to emphasize something about this rejection thing. So many people want to serve God in comfort. That's what this country is suffering. Because when I say you can't afford to reject, there are times you have money. Your children could go to one beautiful school abroad. Even for the love of nation, let them come back after 5 years or 6 years, whatever it takes for them to train. And you take the money and say, there's no need. Go to UNN. Go to University of Port Harcourt. Go to Nnamdi Azikiwe University there. Go to Delta State University. What are you doing? Say, go. Give me a reason to pray. Which one of my children? Was it Omena or Akinlu? When ASUU strike was on, I was holding. You know, there's a way I used to comment. What is wrong with ASUU? ASUU said, you know, I don't understand what ASUU is doing. Until they held my son. This time around, when I get beside the bed, and I kneel down, Abago, I want to see you. I want to see you. It was grown, you know. That cannot be uttered. Like, which can we allow be this one now? We cannot go make progress again. We cannot go make progress again. We talk all kind of things about God. And you think God doesn't? It counts. It counts. If he didn't have a child there, what did you say? This country, I don't understand what is going on. This country is right. By the way, Donald Trump is deporting your children now. Sure you can see. You know what Donald Trump is saying? Go back to your house and go and pray.
He doesn't know, but that's what he said. Go back home and go and what?
Pray.
Go back home and go and pray. See, being a Christian, you take hardship. There's a kind of suffering you go through. You think missionaries went to the village and they carried their fine cars with them and they got there, they came with all kinds of orthopedic mattresses. Look, God located them there. He told them, hey, what's the name of our guy? Pyelton, go to Nigeria, stay there. I saw the man cooking on earthing, with firewood. The people back in his home, they didn't know firewood. The man was using fire. He was inhaling smoke. The man lived a funny life. When he died, he told them that they should bury him immediately and go back to work. That he doesn't want any big ceremony. When he died, they called his daughter. They sent him a message. Your father has died though. So she came back. So they waited for her to come back. And they buried him. Sharp, sharp. And like he said, they went back to work. Please stop. Look, you know Jeremiah? He knew God. Do you know that? He and God used to talk. God would call him and say, come. Did you see what Shemaiah said? Yes. I will punish him and his household. Say, Shemaiah, I warned you. Don't instigate rebellion against the Lord. They called you. He said, who's that one that's prophesying? He says, it's Ananias, not me. Tell him, for the same sin, this year he will die. Yes. That year, the man died. Jeremiah was going around. The time God was saying, remove your cloth. That is how I'm going. As much as he knew God, God was saying, remove your cloth. Walk butt naked. Sir? I said, butt naked. So the guy walked butt naked. What did he say? Go and tell them that. Did they see you butt naked? Say, yes, sir. That's how I'm going to send all of them butt naked as they are led by the Babylonians. Now, this is what I'm going to. One day the Lord now said to him, don't seek anything great for yourself. He said, the only thing you will get is your life as your booty. Find houses. There was a time they took this man and dumped him in a cistern. He couldn't climb by himself. It's a deep hole where they stored water. The bottom was muddy. And he sat down there. God said, don't worry. Said, what did I tell you? Have you given your life as a booty? Nobody's going to kill you. One man who saw him abandoned quickly went and told people, what they did to Jeremiah is not good, though. What they did to him is not good, though. He now came, rescued him. They are going to capture Babylon. Follow them. Follow them. Follow them. When I read Jeremiah, I told the Lord, is there a way? I hope I'm not going to be a prophet because this. I'm not kidding though. I told you, see, there are different jobs though. This prophetic job. You know, this is our prophet that we are managing. They are not anointed. See, one day I read that, when I finished reading it, you know, there's a way you start looking for the Hebrew. Maybe they translated it wrongly. That God won't do this to a man. He did. Yeah. When I finished reading Jeremiah, I told the Lord, please, if we can choose offices, see that teaching priest job is good. I like that one, you know. Teaching priest, just be teaching in the temple, and when they sacrifice the animal, you collect your portion, you eat. Yes, now. But the professor like Jeremiah? No. If I have to be a prophet, Nathan is my portion. I'm not doing Jeremiah. What I'm saying is, serving the Lord there is not always rosy. There are times you take hardship just so you can lay hold of an inheritance. I don't mean so you can chop inheritance, but God says, I want you to possess this land. Many of us just want to claim and claim and claim. No, no, God says, stay there and suffer with them. Then in a hundred years, because you will have labored here, I will give you a voice. You see, let me tell you something. Why, Pastor, I will give you a name that nobody knows apart from the name of the person that has it. You know, I was listening to Salvaraj talk, you know, about the last few days. So I was playing in my car. And I was talking about it. He was talking about the stars that fought against Sisera. How the course of stars in heaven changed because of the battle. I said, that's nice. And I made a statement. He said, what God is going for, the time will come that the legs of God They will speak to the stars and command. Adam said, Oga, I'm not saying it's a lie. It's very true. All right? But it's not the whole church. No. I said, I was just playing as I was driving. I said, no. That's what Jesus meant when he said, to him that overcomes, I will give a name that written on a stone, a name that nobody knows apart from the person who has it. A name means authority. Amongst them, those who walked with me are those who will look at the Son and say, stand still. And the Son will have to obey. That's where I'm going. It was not meant for, it think it's every Tom, Dick, and Harry just go to church after clapping, speaking in tongues for 1 hour, you now turn to the Son. Son, I command the Son, will shine on you, your face will turn black. That's what the Son will do. Say, who's that talking? Son, stand still. Say, for where are they? Go somewhere. Son, stand still. Oh, Son. He said, look, Oga, Joshua did not speak 3 times. He spoke once. You know why you're making all this noise? You don't have the authority. You don't have the authority. How do you earn the authority? That's what I'm talking about. It comes through enduring hardship. That's what I'm saying. That authority does not come because it doesn't come because you know how to pray. You know, sometimes I see people, I'm sorry, please, again, you know, I get to that point, it's as if you are criticizing. They think they pray 20 hours to get into the things of the Spirit. It's not so. Abraham did not pray 20 hours. Moses did not pray 20 hours. Neither did Joshua. Nobody. By the time God has spoken to Paul, did you hear that he ever prayed? No, answer me. When God said, look, I'll visit you later, when the Lord told him, I'll visit you later and we'll discuss some things. Did you hear that he prayed 20 hours? You don't pray 50 hours into the things of the Spirit. You don't. You don't. See, if you will pray to give you the strength to do the suffering, when they ask Jesus Christ, grant that we'll sit on your left and your right in your kingdom. He said, you don't know what you're asking for. These boys, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? They foolishly said we are able. How can you say you are able to drink a cup you have never seen? He told them the cup, one of them, Herod removed his head. Herod killed him by the sword. I don't know whether he removed his head, but Herod killed him by the sword. And when he saw he pleased the Jews, he quickly took Peter too. Brethren say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. They began to pray. He said, are you able to drink? Oh boy, you want to sit on my left and my right? Go and get your keg and start drinking. People want to compensate it by praying for 10 hours. Say, every day I pray for 10 hours. Bro, it's good to pray for 10 hours. Is that okay? Those who pray for 10 hours, at the end of the day, their names will end up being like that of Simeon and that of Hannah. That's all. Be content with that. If you think because of that, you'll now be walking in one kind of spiritual power. It doesn't work like that. You want to have the kind of power that Paul had, get ready to be stranded on the seas for 48 hours because of shipwreck. Christianity is not, no, we brought it into this kind of enjoy. You know, one brother said to us, he said, when Stephen was stoned, he went and said, into your hand I commit my spirit. He said, that was the mistake he made. We told him, I said, it's not your fault. No, we didn't keep going. He said, bro, you're not serious at all. It's not your fault. I said, this world is so attractive to you. A man saw Jesus Christ and he said into your hand, I come in, I said, he made a mistake. This is why they banned Nkurumiri in Nigeria. When people have used crystal meth, they'll be having ideas. See, worldliness is bad. How can you tell? Paul said, my desire is to depart and be with the Lord. Why? It is far better. The only reason why I'm hanging around here is because I know I have work to do. I have books to write. I have teachings to give. I have to instruct the church. That's what the man said, for me to live is Christ. It's a life of service. What am I saying of these things? Brethren, when it's time to possess a place, many times it goes with suffering. That's all this I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Many times when we reject is because it looks like it comes with a bit of difficulty. The other day, he said his son told him, that's, "Daddy, is you God called to support me?" His son told him, "Daddy, is you God?" So that he should get ready. Once he finishes school, he's leaving him here. Isn't the guy, the boys were not enjoying it. No, that's what it means. Because they've been around. They traveled here, they've gone abroad, they've gone to, then you say God called you. I mean, leave me. I mean, do you get my point? They've been here, been there. I'm like, the end of the day, they head back to that place. And the boy tell the papa, say, this calling thing is individual. Each person has his proper calling of the Lord. Yes. I just laugh those people like that. When God wants to call you, when God wants to call you, you go surprised. You know, that's what happened to Lester Sumra. He did shaka. His own was even bad. May it not happen to all these boys. No, it won't happen. There are different God calls people. Lester Sumra, God called him by force. So you want to be like the other nation. God said, I won't have it. I will rule over you by force. Yeah. It took Lester Sumra. It was just about 17 and 18. Come back home, my friend. And then God was doing him, done with him. He was preaching all over the world. He became the apostle of the Philippines. He was preaching all over the world. And please, I'm trying to explain something, brethren. We're talking about ownership. Let me give you the prophetic word of God. I said this in Oka, I think around 2000 or 2001. And I've been saying it again and again. I said, thus says the Lord to the church in Nigeria, if you want this nation, I will give you. All my talk can be summarized in that again today. That thus says the Lord, if you want this nation of yours, I will give you. Yay! Giving is his portion. He lost to give. Two people he talked to, you know, it was interesting. When he talked to Samuel and to Saul, he said, were you not small in your own eyes? Then the Lord made, you don't get my point. You know, when it was time for, after David sinned against him with Bathsheba and mother of Uriah, God said, Abba, look at what I gave you. He started counting for him. I gave you my people. I made you their king. I gave you the house of your master. I gave you his concubines. Even things that you shouldn't give somebody. And you know what he now said? If it was not enough, all you needed to do was tell me. I would have given you more. Why did you now turn to God and take the only wife? We know from scripture that was the only wife Uriah had. You took the wife, then had him killed. Abba. Now let's not talk about murder. Let's not talk about adultery. It's the way God said, David, everything you have, I did what? I give. Nebuchadnezzar, he was bragging. God said, no, now I give these things. I give the kingdom. See, I've been telling you in politics, don't be anybody's enemy. Because many people are angry with God is the one giving them something. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, relax. It's not your cunning. It's not your strength. It's not your wisdom. It's not your planning. I gave you the kingdom of Babylon. The empire, let's put it like that. That empire, I gave it to you. You want to flex your muscles? Okay. He made it grow in the season that the man was out of his mind. And at the end, when he recovered, what did he do? He handed it back to him. So I think it's a small thing when God says to the church in Nigeria, if you want this nation, I will give you. John Knox, remember his famous prayer? He said to the Lord, give me Scotland or I die. In recent times, I've told you, I'm in the asking business. I can ask for anything now. My faith has been boosted. I can just look, say, this moon. Yeah. Let me take a stroll on it. He goes, no problem. You want to? I said, no, I was just joking because me, I can't stay inside a capsule to be flying through space. Now, but the point is that I've gotten to that point. I'm asking the Lord for things. But let's get back to the main thing we're saying. The problem of Nigeria is the church doesn't want her. Back to the issue of pointing of fingers. There are some people here, they are upset. One of my brothers abroad, his obsession is APC. You know what they call obsession? If you say, Kai, it's a beautiful morning in Nigeria today, you say APC propaganda. Yeah, I'm not joking. If you say, the Enugu Port Harcourt Express Road is almost 100% complete, you say APC propaganda. Then we look for one negative story of two people that died on that road and post it. Say, this is what APC is not telling us. So a lot of my classmates say, oh boy, your only problem in this life is APC. And he said, correct. That was what he said. He said, correct. Please let me give you the word of the Lord. We may be laughing. But God said, drop the pointing of fingers. Let me tell you the truth. You know why things are not the way you would have loved them to be? It's called divine judgment. I read in the papers today that the chief of army staff has relocated now to Benue. Yeah, because attack in rural villages over the last 2 days killed 60-something people. And if you read the one about 2 days before, 30-something people died. And you keep reading it, attacks, 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 here and there. So finally, the president probably has ordered him. So he has now personally relocated to the place for them to cure the banditry. Now let me quickly tell you, when you see human beings making efforts, don't be impressed. If God doesn't bless it, it will be frustrated. Are you getting my point? There are times people are bragged against the Lord. You know where I'm going is that when you see things like that that seem intractable, Nigeria has gone through some problems. You know, today you hear of Boko Haram, then they will fight. Then you hear, you know, it's ISIS now, ISWAP. They will fight. They not hear this another group that's fighting ISWAP. I don't know. They say no, it's none of the above. It's not bandits. It's just money. And then they find that no, it's not that one. No, it's headsmen. You know, okay, this Fulani. They say no, it's not Fulani people, though, because they are headsmen, and they are cattle rustlers. And you actually hear that is a group of cattle rustlers. Or headers, that cattle rustlers came, killed, and took 200 cows. So I begin to wonder, who really is the enemy we are fighting? And you can't put a finger on one. When you see such things, no divine judgment is at play. Yes. That God has spoken, and in his judgment, trouble has come upon the land. You hear, you say, what do you see? I see a pot boiling over from the north. That's it. Trouble will come from the north. It's a pot boiling over. How do you stop it? Not the pointing of fingers. You go. Now, you know, I told you earlier, there's accusation, there's judgment, and what speaks against these two things? Mercy. And how does mercy come? I said it. Because somebody who has righteousness before the Lord said to the Lord, have mercy on this land. So when we want to pray for a country like ours, when you see trouble, have mercy. Please do not ascribe. You know, when Obasanjo became president, something has happened. Price of oil went up. Then Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala was able to negotiate massive, debt forgiveness and all kinds of things like that. Obasanjo did a lot of diplomacy here and there. And next thing we knew, civil servants were buying cars. Everybody remember Opelomega? They've all disappeared now. I came to Enugu. Every other car was an Opel Omega, it seemed. That time, Audi 80, yes. Audi 80 and Audi 90 flooded this country. People were bad. And I remember I just came to Enugu that time. So my friend said, this is new. He said, ever since the passenger came to power. I said, Friend of mine, I told him how much I was being paid as a university lecturer and hospital counselor. He shouted, Jesus! He was walking in the UK. He screamed, are you serious? We have never seen that kind of money. One day I told my wife, man, we are prospered though. She said, well, I said, because I went to Albertina. I was just passing. I saw one video cassette recorder and it looked nice. And I bought it, put it in my boot and took it. Before. See, you go pray first. You ask the Lord whether he is approving it. And then you'll not be paying for it small, small. And because I never did stuff like that, I didn't buy. I just don't have. So my wife just came home. What is this? I said, I saw it and I liked it. I didn't do funny things like that. I just said, I still remember that time when the one phone came out that time when GSM now hit the ground. And I just nice phone, just blue. I just buy blue, I toss and give my wife. What's that? Then the next thing, I just say, nah, razor. I just walk out, go one shop, collect razor. It looked like my, some people say, man, Obasanjo just government. It was not Obasanjo. That people have suffered so much, eh? Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not, see, when we now thought, you see, without misbehaving, I didn't misbehave for long, I just did a few things I enjoyed, you understand? As when people now say, carry my bag, they ache, let me go and rest in Dubai. God said, they have come. You just say, no, I don't like, when I sit around here, my foot will be itching me. Let me go and sit in Abu Dhabi. They will travel, pastors, everybody. God said, break the staff of bread. They don't have sense. I give them money to be preaching the gospel. They are traveling, junketing everywhere. Just, I have money. I know what to do. Go and buy a house in America. Go and buy a house in the Middle East. Where I'm going is that, please, this is how Christians behave. Acknowledge it was God at that time. Because it was a dramatic shift. It was a dramatic shift. Then slowly things went down again. And I'm telling you, what happened is simply that God just looked again and withdrew that blessing. It's not economic planning. It's not. People are waiting for the decisions made by the current government on removal of subsidy, doing that, to soon start bearing fruit. I agree too. But not from the angle they are looking at it from. It's because we are praying and asking the Lord for what? Mercy. I hope you're following my point here. Don't ever ascribe any blessing to any human being. That's what I'm saying with all of these things. And neither should you ascribe the difficulties, the judgments to any human being. If you want the banditry, the attacks, everything to stop, what I've established first of all is that you must take what? Possession, ownership. It's rejection that this nation has suffered. It is time to do what? Take ownership, take possession. Take it as mine. I took a lot of time to explain. That doesn't mean everything will be easy for you. There are times you just do something because I said, this place is mine. I told you one thing we did the other day. Somebody said, this money, we're gathering money from our association for something. He said, keep it in dollar. Pastor Craig and I said, no. What's our reason? He said, we're praying for this country. We can't bet against it. That's all. That's all. I said, there's nothing wrong with it, economically speaking, business speaking. I said, but for us, we are sorry. And don't do it because association money. No, personal money, the same thing. One of our brothers, I won't mention his name. One day, his sister called him and said, look, this naira is going to keep falling. Bring your money, let me save it for you in dollars. And he began to gather money and he mentioned his wife. His wife said, what are you doing? If God catches you. Yeah. They are not preachers. They are just normal Christians. He said, what are you doing? You want God to be angry with us? So the sister, don't worry about it. Did he lose money? Certainly. Oh, he did. No, keep on saying it. People say, if you do like that, God will not let you lose. No. All flesh is grass. Money is still grass. Christian money is not gold. It's still grass. Do you follow my point? Not say because it is Christian money now. It won't lose value. Look, it lost value. The 1,000 naira I had before, which I did not spend on time, and God said, if I told you to spend it, after a year, it was not worth more than maybe 500 naira. And you know the truth? I didn't get angry. Say, God, look at that money is losing value. All I said is, Baba God, if you have something to do with it, let's know. It didn't cross my mind to pray, God, recover the value for me for what? No, carry the whole money. Take it away. Leave me alone. If we need money tomorrow, we'll pray for it. That day we said, no. So, simple principle. We are praying for this country. We can't bet against it. Doesn't mean we won't lose money. No, that's not what it means. It just means that we can say to God, we believe. The one who said, I'm believing God for something. You've heard that expression before? Yes. Like one joke, one small clip somebody made. Said, Lord, your boy still they believe. How many of you saw it? Yeah. Say, your boy still they believe. I can never. Not just me. All of us. You must never give God a reason to think you're no longer believing. Yeah. He said, that thing, my wife loves this so much. One guy did a small cartoon. Say 2 seconds. Say tadi mamata 2 seconds. He said, that my part of it I love most. The part I love most is, say your boy still they believe. To me, that thing hit me that there's a time people will stop believing. Yes, the heart gets discouraged. The heart faints. So the people stop believing. My wife asked me something some years ago. She was doing her book of Daniel and turned to me and said, my husband, I said, what? You know, I'm the Bible teacher in the house. You're just doing the story of Daniel. 21 days. I said, well, if Daniel had stopped, what would have happened to that angel? I never thought about it until that day. If Daniel had stopped praying, I had to reason. I told her to give me time. I thought about it. At the end of it, I said, no. It would have meant, let me summarize it. That's when I realized it. It would have meant he stopped believing. It's not the length of prayer that was the issue. Do you get my point? It wasn't the length of prayer that, Daniel stood there. If you go and check it, he used to go to work. Do you get my point? Yes. It's not as if he just took it. No. He used to go to work. In the evening, he just come and sit down and pray. He did not eat any pleasant food. That's what he said. He wasn't totally hungry. It's just that the feasting time, when they will, serve first course, serve the opener, then the full, the main meal, then dessert, and they'll be sipping wine, as they used to do. That they didn't have the time. Just take a piece of bread, take juice, chew it, and drink, and go back and start meditating. How those guys used to pray, if you understand it. Their prayer was not, it was meditation. They take the scriptures, and they are meditating upon it. Next morning, he'll get up, go to work again. Time for feasting in the evening? No. He's gone back to meditation. So my wife said, what if he has stopped? The angel said, I was fighting to get here. It took me 21 days. Will he have gone back? I said, not because the prayer was too short, but because it will have been a sign that Daniel has stopped believing. Let us pray. Don't get up. You can just stay where you are. Oh, yeah. Hey, wait. Before you do that, I said I should say this. Elder John, that your testimony, we will take and preach for a long time. Because it's so instructive. Elder John said he wanted to go and pray. So he don't wear, jogging shoes. Don't tighten the belt. Don't comb his hair backwards. Check his head, there's nothing on top. But he was ready. He was ready. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's start. As the end of the Holy Spirit said, who do you want to talk to? Is it your neighbor you're inviting or your heavenly father? Says, my heavenly father, sit down. So the guy sat down. I had planned for that prayer, it was going to be 1 hour minimum. Could you not tarry with me for an hour? He sat down there. Now, let me just paint another picture for you. Holy Spirit said, what do you want? Say, I want to pray about the ministration I have on Sunday. Good. So, what do you want the Lord to do for you? I want inspiration. Okay. I want revelation. Okay. I want fluency of speech. Because you can have inspiration and revelation and be stammering nonsense there. I want fluency of speech. Say, good. What else? It's not about me. It's about the people. I want them to be blessed. I want your word to come from you expressly through my mouth to them. Let it be clear. Give each person direction. Heal the sick. Do whatever you need to do. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. Any other thing? That's all. All right. You may go. Answered. That's 10 minutes. Abi, how many minutes did you say? 10 minutes. And he got up and he left. And he went to minister. It was a Sunday, right? Yeah. As he began to minister, he was looking for who's talking. Is that me? The anointing was visible. It was clear. The anointing was there. And I'm so grateful he didn't spend that 1 hour shouting nonsense shout. Because he would have come to teach my children. Actually, I've gone to follow Elder John. Say, oh God, that anointing was powerful. How did you do it? He said, you put a leg here. And put one leg here. And bend over. And begin to groan. I will have come home and be hearing noise from my son's room. Elder John said, that's how to get anointing. That's the problem. He will have been misleading my children. But now, what testimony does he have? He will say, I asked the Lord. That's what it means God gets in glory. You know the name Samuel? You know what it means? I asked him of the Lord. To come for this meeting, I decided to scan scriptures in my head. Those who did powerful intercessory prayer that God answered. He said, how did they do it? Abraham. He said, Lord, I want to ask you a question. The God of the heavens and the earth does not do right. He said, far be it from you to do wickedly. Will you punish the righteous as you are punishing the wicked? The Lord said, no. He says, okay, if there are 50 people, we used to destroy the whole place. I don't think you should do that. Because he said, no, I won't. You know the rest of the story. I won't say more than that. Then the one that struck me was Amos. Amos said, I saw the Lord preparing a swarm of locusts right after the king's portion of the harvest had been taken. And when I watched the vision, it was a vision, I watched and I saw that the locusts swept everything away. I said, Lord, how can Israel survive? She's so small. No, first thing, he said, Lord, please stop. He said, we'll not survive this. She's so small. And God said, it will not be. Then I saw fire burning. The Lord was preparing fire. And I watched and it's burnt all this portion of the land. I said, Lord, stop. The Lord said, what? I said, Lord, Israel will not survive this because she's so small. And the Lord said, this will not be also. And it dawned on me that, wait, they were not banging their head against the wall. What just happened was the heart was right. When Amos was prophesying, he actually felt it like, Lord, you want to kill everybody. Please now. And God said, don't worry, it will be fine. Well, going back to the prayer. But I want to then bear that in mind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be critical, but I think we have to correct our bad habits. We are talking to somebody in two capacities. We're talking to our father, and we're talking to a judge. Before none of these persons do you make a lot of noise. Yeah. Don't raise your voice. You're talking to a judge. What's wrong with you? You come and make a plea. You bring forth an argument if you have. You don't raise your voice. You're talking to your father. It's not necessary. He may not be as stern as the judge would be, but it's not necessary. Calm down. He says, so we can't raise our voice. I'm sorry. From my experience, it's only when passion was sometimes because of pain. It's not because God is hard of hearing or is distant. Was sometimes because of pain. Because of pain, you say, Lord, deliver us. You don't need to walk it. Do you follow my point? It's not something you walk. It's something that just comes up. So please, drop that, those habits we have created as Christians. I think I have a mandate to beg us to stop it. It's not, you will see answers to prayer. You like, what? Was it that prayer? The Bible said, watch your steps when you come near the temple. Draw near to listen. No, how did he say it again? He said, God is in heaven, you're on earth. What did he say? Therefore, let your words be few. Let's bow down our heads. We want to pray. This is what the Lord says you should ask for. I've already established the fact that the nation is yours. Wherever you're listening to this from, take it. God has given you that nation to preserve. God has given you that nation to take care of. Again today, for those of us who are here, let's pray for Nigeria. First of all, say, Lord, thank you for giving it to me. Thank you for giving it to us. Say, our Father, you gave us this land. It's very important. You claim it. This land is my own. No. It doesn't belong to Bola Ahmed Tinubu. It does not belong to Shetima, that's the vice president. It does not belong to Akpabio, Senate president. It does not belong to the legislators. It belongs to me, my brethren, and our children. It belongs to the church. And you said to us by the mouth of your servant, that if we, and it's in scripture, he said, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. He said, the Lord, this land which I took you in as exiles. He said, seek the good of the land. Entreat the Lord for her sake. So this is in scripture. It's not just me saying it. He put Adam in the garden to guard it and to keep it. Now I want us to ask for this country. Let's make requests. But first of all, let's say, Lord, I receive the nation. I take it as mine. I take it. It's called the church in Nigeria. If you read the Bible, you used to name churches by their geographical location. The Lord can't carve these boundaries according to the number of the sons of the Israel of God. The church in Nigeria. Say to the Lord, I am one of them. On behalf of my brethren, I come to you again today. And those of us who are gathered at this point, we say, our Father. That's what we are saying. Our Father, who apportions the land. Thank you for the one you have given us. Again, we receive it from your hand. We receive it. We say, this is a land that you gave. It is a land that you gave. Pray, just pray. Remain seated there. If you want to stand up, I'm not saying you can't stand up, but I'm trying to say that, let's just relax before the Lord. And say to him, it's a land that you give. It's a land that you give. And I'm saying again, I receive it. We are saying again, we receive it. Now let's magnify the name of the Lord. Let me just quickly read from the book of Psalms and read what he said there. The name of the Lord. He said, come and see what the Lord has done. How he has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease. That's what he does. He makes wars to cease. He makes wars to cease. That's verse 9 of Psalm 46. Let me just read for us. From verse 7, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. Everybody repeat after me. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
Say it again.
The Lord of hosts is with us.
The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The Lord of Jacob is our stronghold.
He said, come and behold the works of the Lord.
Come and behold the works of the Lord.
Who has wrought desolations in the earth.
Who has wrought desolations.
Now I want to read once loudly, verse 9. He said, he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth.
He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth.
Say it again. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. Now, it says, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two.
He
burns the chariots with fire. You know what God said in verse 10? He says, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He says, last of all, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. I've read from the book of Psalm 46 down to verse 11 from verse 7. Now begin to use those scriptures to pray. Say, Lord, you make, that's the name of the Lord. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. Now call in that name, the God that makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. Now we're asking you concerning our nation, make wars cease. Now that's the prayer point. The chief of army staff will not stop the war. In Benue, he can't. Nigeria military will not be the one to stop the wars in Maiduguri and Yobe and those areas. The Zamfara war will not be stopped by the Nigeria army. No. It's the Lord that will stop it. There are many ways he can start. I don't want to even suggest. But he will say, wars, cease. And that's it. Nobody will fire that bullet. So if you want wars to cease, ask the Lord, let wars cease. I want us to pray. Using the name of the Lord, I'll read to us again. He said, come. He said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He ends, he said, no weapon. He said, I'm the one that makes the weapon. That the blacksmith, he said, I'm the blacksmith that makes the weapon, I made him. So if I make a statement that no weapon fashioned against you will prosper, that is, God has power over the weapons. So he said, he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. He burns the armored vehicles with fire. He burns all those mounted, the gun mounted on the trucks, the machine gun truck, those ones that carry machine guns on trucks. He burns them with fire. Why? He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalting the earth. So ask him, say, Lord, this is my land. You said, I should entreat the Lord for his sake. Abi? That's what he said. Say, entreat the Lord for his sake. Say, Lord, I'm entreating you for the sake of this nation that I am in. Say, what do you want me to do? Say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Cause wars to cease. Say, Lord, let prosperity come. The other day they said, I know it was night. Flood just hit a village in Niger State or some villages. By morning, 150, 200 people have died. I was analyzing with my wife and some of our brethren here. I said, do you know what happened? They were inundated with flood at night. There was no light. Imagine. They didn't even know whether they were alive or dead or dreaming or what. The flood just came, covered the houses. By morning, about 200 people were missing. And they began to pick bodies here and there. Say, Lord, have mercy now. Listen, Lord, have mercy. Because I thought about it. There was nothing they could have done. You think they didn't? There was no light. It was night. It was raining, so they couldn't even see the stars. The sky was dark. There was no artificial light. The water just came and swept away hundreds of people. It's called a disaster. When you hear things like that, say, Lord, have mercy. Thank the Lord who has preserved you, because he said all you'll be hearing is the hearing of your ears, but it will not come near you. But for the rest of the nation, ask for mercy. God was not going to rain fire on the tabernacle of Abraham when he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. For you, it will be well with you. It will be well with you. It will be well with you. But I want you to pray for mercy. Collect the land. See, this land is my own. You gave it to me. Now, I want us to pray another prayer point, because it's very important. Because number one thing, see, it's not religious for us to say. Number one thing God is doing is advancing the kingdom of God on this earth. In this nation, that's what he's doing. Now, pray. You know, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest field. If the coming of Jesus needed the prayer from people like Hannah and Simeon and many more people that are not mentioned, the advance of the gospel also need prayer. So I want us to pray. Say, Lord, in this country, fill every corner with the knowledge of Christ. Yeah. Just be counting states. Say, Lord, I pray. This is our nation. So I'm asking you, fill Borno State with the knowledge of Christ. Fill Enugu State with the knowledge of Christ. Pray about the rural areas. Many of the gospel we are preaching is just in the cities. Say, Lord, fill it with the knowledge of Christ. Send laborers into the harvest field. Lord, make me do what I need to do. But I'm praying, Lord, now for the whole country. And I'm praying for different states. I'm praying for the rural areas in my city, in Enugu here where I am, or wherever you are praying from. Say, Lord, this is my request. This is our request. Send the gospel into every area. Let the doors open to you. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. He's the Lord, strong and mighty, mighty in battle. Guard your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, and ride on prosperously. Because of truth, Lord, ride into every corner of this nation with the gospel. Send your laborers into the harvest field. It's important we say this. Important we say this because some people have given Northern Nigeria to Islam. Say, no, I'm not one of them. They're only angry when they hear that they are building a mosque in Imo State. If you use one portion, they will still collect everything. So collect everything back. Say to the Lord, as it is written, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Say, Borno State is the Lord. Sokoto State is the Lord. Katsina State is the Lord. The Lord is Jesus Christ too. Enugu State is the Lord. We are talking about Islam and all of that. What about the revival of traditional worship? We say, Lord, we refuse it in the name of Jesus. We refuse it. We refuse it. We refuse it. And Lord, ask the Lord. Say, all these false prophets that creep into the church, they are nothing but diviners, but they are now saying that they are prophets. Father God, we reject them. Say, as a body, we reject them. That's how we pray. See, this is your personal matter. You're not looking for the God of harvest to give you money so I can run somewhere. No. Say, this country is my own. No. As a church, we possess every corner of it. We refuse to yield any square inch. Mention states. Mention River State, Cross River, Lagos, Ondo, Oyo, Ogun, Benue, Kwara, Kogi, Katsina, Adamawa, Taraba, Kebbi. I mean, miss a few. Just keep mentioning Abia, Ebonyi, Akwa Ibom. Every state, Plateau State in Nigeria, Bauchi, every state in this country, Nasarawa, Jesus, as we are calling the names of this, we are saying they are yours. They are yours. As citizens of this land, we say, this land, every portion of it belongs to you. Kaduna is yours in the name of Jesus. Kano is yours in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, mount your throne. Set up your throne. You hear that I saw the ancient of thrones were being set up. Say, Lord, set up your throne over every portion of this land. Like I said, just pray. Just ask. Say, this is what I will let the children of Israel ask me to do for them. I want us to ask for this country. Paul wrote to Timothy, he commanded us to pray for the leaders. Please, nobody listening to us is participating in rejection. Rejection of leaders is democracy. You'll have no, your candidate will lose. If simple possibility that he will lose is 3-4 because there were 4 leading candidates. And if yours won, another Christian's candidate it will have lost. But like I said, let us agree. Now we have a president in power. The final authority in the land said, this is your president. The Bible says, you should pray for him. And we are going to pray. What are we supposed to pray for? That God will use him. It's a simple prayer. Say, Lord, you have a purpose, you have a plan. We have begged you for mercy, we have begged you for prosperity. Now we are yielding our president with our words. Say, Lord, use him. Use him, Lord. Use him, Lord. Have mercy upon him. Give him strength, give him health, and most importantly, give him wisdom. Pray for him that God will give him wisdom, that he will know what to do. And that same prayer, say, Lord, I spread it to everybody around him. Wise leaders will surround him. Wicked ones will silence them in the name of Jesus. Everyone that wants to give them the faulty counselor, the counsel, that Ahithophel tried to give up at the end against David. Father God, we kick them out by our petition before you, out of his presence. Lord, anyone that will not do your will, that will not yield, Lord, we are asking, let them go. Remove them in the name of Jesus. That's it. Father, give wisdom to all the president's lieutenants. To the service chiefs, Lord, give them zeal. Give them bravery. Give them wisdom. Ask the Lord to leak the secrets of the enemies to them. I mean, why were they looking for Elisha? Because he used to leak the secrets of the king of Aram to the king of Israel. Say, God, help us. Send deliverance. Send help from above. We pray for wisdom for our president, Lord. Pray for the house of the legislative house. Say, any law they will write that's against the will of God is canceled in the name of Jesus. Yes. Let there be disagreement if the law is not in the line with the will of God. Let them not be able to pass it. Simple majority they will not have. They will have four camps on a simple thing inside that place. Once it's not in line with the will of God. But write your own laws, Father God, we're asking of you. You are the lawgiver. We exalt your name as the lawgiver over this nation. Ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth. Let the laws coming out of that house be laws of righteousness. We are asking. Lord, do it for us. Lord, we're asking. Do it for us. We pray for the Supreme Court also, people. Say, Lord, let injustice not stand. It's a simple prayer. The Lord saw injustice and it displeased him. Say, Lord, let injustice not stand. The Lord saw injustice and he was displeased. That's what Isaiah said. He said, the Lord saw and he was displeased. Say, Heavenly Father, do not let injustice stand. So we pray for the Supreme Court. We are asking that it will be a weapon of justice. It's a prayer we are praying. Let's give Lord thanks because he has heard us. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Let's give him thanks. He said, this is the confidence we have towards him. If we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us. So let's pray by giving thanks. Let us pray with thanksgiving. Say, Lord, we thank you. This is the confidence we have towards you. Everything we ask in accordance with your will, you hear us. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. All right, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And he'll be gracious unto you. He will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace to be well with you at home, to be well with you when you go out. No evil will befall you and no plague will come to your dwelling place. And you won't sleep at night and drown before morning. If that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. I pray for everyone that you love. You know, there are people that you hear their trouble and it will move you. Now, such persons, the Lord will show them mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Your sibling that does not know the Lord, Father God will bring such a person before you. Amen. Open that heart. Amen. Jesus, visit that individual. Amen. Drag him into the kingdom. Amen. Drag her into the kingdom. Amen. And let your child here be happy and joyful. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Quickly bless two people beside you. The second person, this is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in them. Now one for yourself, this is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.